take a chance and risk getting knocked out.
Oh, my God.
Wow. It's time for your number one source for combat sports.
Oh, my. How good was that?
Boxing, mixed martial arts, and more.
It is all over.
Bang. Right on the jaw.
Covering the fight game on a local, national, and global level.
How about the knockout?
It landed shin to chin.
This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Here we go. Testies, 1, 2, 3. Hell no. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Thanks for joining us this Sunday evening. Ozone here. You there. Brian Imes, T-Mac, Thomas McCullough in studio, as well as Anthony Shark Biza, that's Sharkbait Gutierrez, and of course, the man with the plan behind the glass, twisting knobs, pushing faders. He's in charge of the whole operation. It is Tim Raynor.
Tim!
Want to hear it for Tim Raynor. Thank you to the studio audience. You can see them and us in, on your enhanced radio, as far as you know. Big show tonight. Big weekend for fights, and locally here and nationally, and probably some overseas cards, too. But I think we'll start off. Here's what we'll do. We'll do a little rundown and tell you what you can expect on the only show that you'll find on broadcast radio in this region, and certainly in the Kansas City metropolitan area, that deals with the art of ass-whipping, the business of beatdowns, and we take a serious, sensitive, sober look at the art of ass-whipping. Headlines we will do first, and then in the second segment, we will be talking to Jade Chun, victorious last night at Kansas City Fighting Alliance, and one fight of the night. She and her opponent just absolutely beat the hell out of each other. That's kind of cool. What is that? What's that horrible noise? Mm-hmm. Screwing up the radio show. That's pretty kick-ass, whoever's responsible.
Sorry.
Bend over and stand up straight real fast and pull your head out of your ass. It's gonna, just like that.
Does that make you wet behind the ears?
No, because that wet behind the ears means you're inexperienced. But well, maybe if someone is wet behind the ears, come to think of it. Hell no! But I'm about a quarter way into this Monster Energy drink. I don't know if it shows. But second segment, Jade Chun, victorious last night, fight of the night. Victor, Kansas City Fighting Alliance. We'll review that show and talk to her in the second segment. Third segment, I thought we'd do a little upcoming fight activity. And, it was UFC, a couple of UFCs coming up the next couple of weeks, local shows, that kind of deal. Right now, we'll do some headline activity with Thomas McCullough, T-Mac, baby. What's up, sweet daddy? Headlines.
Not too much is going on. Kind of a slow news week as far as actual headline newsworthy. So I kind of went a little bit outside of MMA, but MMA related. So the first one I got is Keith Jardine apprehends thief after high-speed chase. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's kind of a weird story. What happened was Keith Jardine noticed someone walked up to his mailbox, opened his mailbox, stole his mail, and then threw it into the car that was closest to him, and then drove off. Keith Jardine apparently had his keys on him, which was lucky for him, got in his Bronco, sped up, got next to him, pointed at him. The guy got, I assume, afraid, because it's Keith Jardine. He looks scary.
Well, he's not the most handsome son of a bitch. I mean, if you get a look at him, he's pretty scary looking.
He heard you say that.
Come on with it, Dean of Mean.
The man then speeds off again, and Jardine continues to chase him, cuts him off, gets out of the car, rears back to act as if he's going to hit him, holds him down, and waits till the cops come.
Oh.
Cops come. Right, he was very responsible. Cops come, and apparently he had the mail of the entire neighborhood in his house.
Wow.
I don't know. The chief of police said that there was mail from other households in the neighborhood. So I'm not exactly sure why he would steal mail.
To get credit card information, card numbers, Social Security. I mean, anything that's personal coming to the house with your personal info could be valuable to a scumbag thief.
Yes. So
I like that though, man.
Yeah.
He's got a terrible, a terribly stupid nickname, the Dean of Mean.
Now
but that's
the
a great. That's a. I'm sorry.
So now he could be the postmaster.
Yeah, now he's the postmaster. That's a good one. I don't know how many fights he has ahead of him. He is 38 years old. He was getting a little bit soft in the chin area towards the end of his career. But it's good to. It seems like MMA always makes national headlines with this kind
of
story.
I love
you know,
it. I wish,
MMA
I'd love
fighter
to see more
apprehends
of it.
This. MMA apprehends
him.
Which is great. Hey, I like all the attention the sport can get. But Keith Jardine making news, stopping a thief who was stealing mail from him and others. In
God, I wish you know what? The only way it would be a better story if he just beat the living daylights.
Yeah.
Just beat the piss out of
him. Yeah, but then they would expect that from an MMA fighter. So that's
yeah. And then he probably would have got sued.
Right, and so on and so forth. So he did the right thing. It was good for him.
Sweet street justice.
Second story I've got is son of UFC owner or CEO Nico Fertitta earns full ride to Notre Dame to play football.
Oh, good for him. That's great.
Yes.
Not like his old man can't afford it.
Right, exactly. He's ranked as the 30th best safety in the country.
Speed.
Yeah, he hasn't yet committed, but he announced on Twitter that Notre Dame has offered him a full ride to play safety for their football team. So, good to see, you know, MMA spawn, I guess you could say, making some news. So,
and for Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame. He's got other offers from Boston College and Hawaii, which I would pick Hawaii because of
weather,
and it's Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't yet committed, but he did announce on Twitter that he's going to get a full ride to play football at Notre Dame if he chooses to accept it. And Lorenzo was, you know, ecstatic.
Of course.
So
well,
good
for the Fertitta boy. Let's play some football at Notre Dame. I like it.
Yes. Now let's get into some real fight news that's actually making some waves within the sport. New welterweight bout has been added to UFC 172, Jake Ellenberger versus Tarek Saffiedine.
Okay.
Earlier this month, they were supposed to fight. Ellenberger got hurt. Saffiedine ends up staying on the card, main eventing it in Singapore. Now they've rescheduled the fight. It's going to take place at UFC 172. Another great fight. I think this is a one that really shows who the title contender is, and the other one takes a few steps back.
Now where Tarek Saffiedine, his last fight took place where?
Singapore.
Okay. Now, Brian, if you don't quit breathing that mic, you're going to get caned across your bare buttocks, Singapore style.
Sorry. Remember that? Singapore cane. Yes, very good reference. I like that.
You're old.
True, but it's still funny.
And then, isn't the Blue Monster sugar-free?
It is, but there's a bunch of other crap in it that gets
that's
you jazzed up.
That's false advertising there.
No, there's other crap in it that gets you all jazzed up and fired up. There's 15 calories per serving, sweet daddy.
Maybe it's a natural sugar cane thing that's having a interesting
now there's sugar cane and there's a bamboo cane.
You
get that across your bare buttocks, Singapore style.
You talk about my buttocks again. I'm going to cane you first.
All right, and then in my last headline, let's move on.
Hell no!
Last headline. Obviously, right now, the Super Bowl is the biggest sports story going on right now, and it's going to take place in New York.
What's the biggest sports story?
The Super Bowl.
Let's play some football!
And apparently there's been some weather issues as snow is apparently going to land.
They might actually get dirty.
Yeah.
And heaven forbid.
Yeah, that's true. And so
if there's blood on the field, they'll call it at half.
The plan for the Super Bowl is if there's too much snow that's going to be planned for Sunday, they're going to move it to Saturday. Well, the problem for the UFC is UFC 169 takes place on Saturday, and obviously you won't get a lot of eyeballs on your fights if the Super Bowl is the same night. So what the UFC is planning to do is move their event then to Sunday. So they will swap days if the Super Bowl moves to Saturday.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, if Super Bowl is negatively affected by weather, they'll move it to a Saturday because, of course, it's outside this year in a cold weather state this time of year. If they move it to a Saturday, UFC 169
headlined by Hinnon Brown versus Uriah Faber and also Jose Aldo versus Ricardo Lamas. That's the two title fights. The main event is going to be Brown versus Faber, but Aldo versus Lamas is also a title fight, so it's kind of a double main event.
We haven't heard a lot about that Aldo fight. I wonder why that is. Seems like the Brown fight gets all the attention.
Well, with Uriah Faber being one of the faces of the division and also a former champion himself, and then Hinnon Brown just running through people, it makes more sense that that is the main event, because Ricardo Lamas, to the general fan, really isn't a proven commodity as far as pay-per-view draws. So you're going to put in the two big-time players in that, put them as the main event, and then Jose Aldo, who's also, you know, great to watch fight, put that as the co-main event, and it's a title fight. So anyhow, but if the Super Bowl moves to a Saturday, then a UFC will move to Sunday. I don't know how that's going to work with two events moving that many hotel arrangements and tickets and all of that stuff. So it should be very interesting to see what happens if the Super Bowl does move.
And, you know, one thing I was thinking about for the fighters, if they end up changing the day of the fight, a lot of people don't realize how hard that is for the fighters as far as weighing in. So now your schedule as far as cutting weight goes, if they are going to actually change the date of the fight, which I can't see them doing, or at least the commission allowing it, but if they do, it's got to be really hard for the guys cutting weight to either go a day farther or earlier.
Absolutely, and you're listening to Fight Your Life on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. You just heard the voice of Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez. Have you ever been affected in a fight with a date change, something like that, or you had to weigh in earlier or later?
As an amateur, I ran into a problem kind of similar to that. I was told I was supposed to fight in Philadelphia, and I was told that the weigh-ins were the night before, and it was a pro-amateur card, so split half and half. So we show up to the weigh-ins that are the night before, and they're saying, whoa, you're an amateur. The pros are weighing in tonight. You weigh in tomorrow. And so I had cut all this weight, was on weight, thinking I was going to weigh in the day before.
And you thought you were going to be able to drink some water and eat something.
Yeah. And so, nope, I just spent one more night, and it, you know, kind of stunk, but whatever.
Brian Iams, how about you? Ever affected by a weight situation before or after, late?
No experience like that. I've taken some long drives to Oklahoma 4 or 5 hours down there, and then had to cut 10 pounds when I got there, you know, 2 hours before the weigh-in. But that's,
well,
you know,
off topic then. I mean, we're talking about weigh-ins and how the events are changing and how it affects the fighters. But how about what's that like, driving 5-6 hours on an empty stomach? Or then where do you go to cut 10 pounds? And maybe you don't have a gym membership there.
Right. Yeah, I fought 4 times in Oklahoma in like a 9-month time span. And I would just drive my truck down there. It's 4 or 5 hours to Tulsa or Oklahoma City. You get there, you check into the hotel, and you get there in time to cut a little weight, and I can cut weight pretty fast. So I do a lot of swimming or sauna time and or lightweight workout, heavy-duty intensive like cardio training, hour and a half in the gym. Maybe you swim a total of a mile, so you're stretching the whole time. It can be done.
Do you shower before getting into the pool?
You mean like post sauna or post long drive in the car?
Any time. I mean, you know.
Oh yeah, I generally shower before I get in the pool.
Sometimes
yeah.
You get these public pools. Well, no, I don't, but I expect everyone else to. But
you're supposed to, you know,
see that
like
film.
Like rinse. You do see a film. In the YMCA,
yeah.
They got them films.
Yeah, it's real nice. But it's Fight Your Life, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We're talking headline activity. Anything else as far as headlines? T-Mac.
As I mentioned, it's kind of light as far as the headlines. Now, once we kind of get into the UFC card that was last night, there's some headlines within that event, but as far as newsworthy, you know, off the top of the show, no, it's been kind of light, so I'm good for right now.
Okay, well, I've got one, and it's Chris Leben officially announced his retirement.
Yes.
Which I think sucks, but it's right for him. He's had so many different wars and battles and taken a lot of damage, and he's had his battles outside of the cage as well, substance abuse and maybe some trouble with the law.
Yeah.
But man, he's just an absolute warrior. I love watching him fight. And he's officially retired. It's good for him, you know, I suppose. And I hope he finds a fulfilling endeavor to get into for the rest of his life.
Well, we mentioned that too when he fought Uriah Hall. You know, in between the first and second round, when he asked if he got knocked out, and then he went to his stool and he's like, "No, I'm done.
Yeah.
We kind of even said that because we referenced when we had Craig Cummings on, and he said, you know, between those rounds, I knew that I was done.
Against Mikkel Kessler, he was fighting. He got knocked down. He was on a knee. He's like, I can't beat this guy.
Right, and it seemed like Chris Leben kind of had a similar moment as far as for his fight career. And, you know, at the UFC level, you just don't hang around. Those are the best of the best guys up there fighting. And so it was good for him to do it, especially for his fighting style. A guy like a Damian Maia might be able to get on two more fight cards and have a couple more fights, because then he can rely on his jiu-jitsu. Hey, I can at least grab him, take him to the ground, maybe look for a submission. When you're just a brawler,
if you just walk forward like a zombie and take shots,
then your career might be finished a little earlier than usual. So good for him. I think he mentioned that he wants to coach. I don't know. His style really doesn't seem too
Yeah, you don't want him to be coached in his style unless you have a natural propensity toward that style of fighting. But I wish him all the best. I know he's a wacko, but maybe that's part of what I like about him is the personality. And I love his fighting style. He's a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. So that's going to do it for headlines and this segment of Fight Show Live. And we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Jade Chun, Fight of the Night winner last night at Kansas City Fighting Alliance. You're listening to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
This is Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez from Season 18 of The Ultimate Fighter. You're listening to my best friends, Ozone and T-Mac, on Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Excuse me! Pardon me!
Experts in the business of beatdowns. Back to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Yes, indeedy, feed the needy. Welcome back, Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. And now we go to a very special guest, and we thank her for taking the time on a Sunday evening when don't nobody want to do no radio show. But she was victorious last evening, and a Fight of the Night winner at Kansas City Fighting Alliance. We have Jade Chun with us. Jade, are you with us?
I'm here.
Kick ass. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Letting me.
Well, of course. And how are you feeling today after that humdinger of a fight? It went all three rounds, and you girls just went, I mean, just beat the hell out of each other. You obviously had the upper hand throughout, but my God, your opponent was very game. How are you feeling this morning, or this afternoon?
I feel fantastic. I felt great all day, and last night, actually all day yesterday, feel like I'm walking on air. It's been phenomenal.
Well, and so take us a little bit of your background. How did you even get into this? I mean, is this something you want to do as a career? How did you get into fighting, and how did last night happen? Take us through the journey, if you would, a little bit, please.
Actually, I never saw myself doing anything like this until pretty recently. It all started. I was never actually into fitness or any kind of athletic
endeavor.
I have no athletic background. I mean, I did some gymnastics and stuff when I was younger, but
no volleyball or softball?
What?
No volleyball or softball?
No volleyball, no softball.
Okay, a little gymnastics, but yeah. So what made you even decide to go to the gym?
I was actually really overweight a few years back, and my doctor told me I needed to get it into check, so started doing all the eating healthy and running on the treadmill and got down some weight and just got bored at the regular gym, so I started doing title boxing, their aerobic boxing and kickboxing classes. And I did that for a few years, and I really loved it. It was great for my endurance, great for strength, but I just kind of stopped getting anything out of it. Not that it wasn't great for, you know, my aerobic fitness. I wanted more. I wanted to see what it was like to actually get more in depth. So I thought about joining a boxing gym. Those are pretty scarce around here, and was online kind of looking around. I live in the Lee Summit area, and I saw Grindhouse, and I went and tried it out. And at first I was kind of like, oh, I don't know, you know, going from being the best in all my title classes to being able to go through the entire class and people just thinking I was awesome to all these people I didn't know into something that was completely alien to me. At first I wasn't so sure about it, but I'm really glad I stuck with it. So, I mean, I just started training in July.
Wow.
2013, and just really love it. I mean, so
within the span of about 6-7 months, you find yourself in the cage, slanging dukes, and then come away with a Fight of the Night award. And how did that make you feel? I mean, obviously, it's a new experience all around, but then, you get a lot of accolades and you know, a lot of attention and recognition for the Fight of the Night. How did that feel?
I was amazed, astounded. I whenever I heard him announce it, I was kind of walking around talking to my friends and stuff and just saying hi to everyone and soaking it all up, and all of a sudden I hear Fight of the Night, and I'm like, no way, because there was so many amazing fights last night. I mean, it was just a great show all around, and for me and Stephanie to take away the Fight of the Night, I was just extremely surprised. At first I was like, are we supposed to go up there?
Yeah.
Yes,
and I was just, it kind of took my breath away. So it took the both of us. I mean, she fought an amazing fight. She was tough as nails. I couldn't believe some of those hits she took and just kept coming at me.
No, absolutely. I mean, well deserved for both of you, but I mean, you definitely were the victor in a terrific performance.
Walk us through a little bit about, you know, your first fight. What was it like walking to the cage, you know, after all of that training? Was it everything you kind of thought it would be, or was it different when you got to the venue and you were actually ready to fight?
It's all kind of a blur, but from what I remember about how I was feeling during the day, I was, you know, just, I had a lot of energy. I was ready to go. I wasn't nervous at all. I was just ready to do it. And then I didn't think I really got nervous until we got to the venue and kind of got in the bag. And then I started feeling a little bit of nerves. I think the most nerves I felt was whenever I was warming up in the back, and I think I was doing mitts with Trisha Clark, and I think she could kind of tell the nerves were getting to me a little bit when I was warming up. But I remember walking out through the tunnel and seeing the cage, and a calm just came over me. And I just thought, this is what I'm here to do. I don't know why I'm nervous. This is what I've been training to do. This is what I want to do. I'm going to go have a blast. So that's kind of when the nerves disappeared. I did have a period for about 5 minutes before I walked out of the tunnel that I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? This is crazy. What made me want to do this? And then I walked out, everybody's cheering my name, everybody's wanting to, you know, give me high fives, and I just look around me and I just was pumped. I started jumping up and down, I just really got in the zone, and I immediately remembered why I was there.
Well, and you were absolutely bringing it. Last night we're talking to Jade Chun, victorious last night over Stephanie McGank. The ladies received Fight of the Night honors. I mean, for just a terrific performance. 3 rounds of nonstop action, lots of blood. Took them a while to clean that canvas. And you mentioned Trisha Clark. How do you feel about your team? I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better team at Grindhouse. You have 3 active UFC fighters there, and just a whole host of a huge pool of talent. I mean, how do you feel about the fact that you chose Grindhouse as your gym?
I'm extremely lucky. I didn't know anything about MMA gyms. I actually didn't really know anything about MMA. I never really followed the UFC. I didn't have any idea who, like, Ronda Rousey was or anything. Actually, one time, I think the fourth or fifth time I was at Grindhouse for a class, I asked who Dana White was. And
yeah, who's she?
Extremely strange looks. So I kind of get teased about that a little bit still, but I am very, very lucky to have such a great gym family. I am honored to be a part of that, and I couldn't ask for better coaches, and Trisha was just awesome. I mean, for the time leading up to the fight, the weight loss and stuff like that, she put up with my ridiculous text messages. The day of the fight, she was there. I mean, kind of just to calm me down and just be there, even though I didn't really need anything in particular. She was with me the entire night, and I think she was just as nervous for it as I was. So they're really, really great. I mean, they've all been very supportive and have helped me more than I could possibly explain. I'm very, very lucky, very fortunate to know those guys.
So. Absolutely. You couldn't have picked a better gym like Grindhouse.
Absolutely not.
And really, that's a common thing. You know, I mean, you weren't a big fan or even a fan at all of the sport, but a lot of people, you know, who's this Dana White? Who's this bald woman who's the president of UFC? T-Mac?
Going back to the fight, you know, one thing that I found that was very impressive about your fight is you were landing such heavy shots early in the first round, but you kind of kept that pace throughout the entire fight. After you landed, you know, one big punch after the other, mentally, what were you thinking after you would land all these punches and that girl's still standing there? I mean, did that affect you at all, or were you still sticking to a game plan? I mean, I remember watching it a few different times thinking, this girl has to fall and the fight has to be over, but she kept just standing there. She was so tough. Did that affect you at all?
No, it didn't affect me. I mean, honestly, I didn't have – I didn't have game plan. My game plan was go out there and hit her. I mean, I was like, I'm going to hit her as much as I can. and I did. I hit her as much as I could. To see her take those punches, those heavy punches, and a few of those, I don't know if you saw, my entire body went into some of those.
Yeah.
Things.
Oh, yeah.
And landed. I mean, landed square on her face, and she just kept coming at me. I mean, a couple of them phased her a little bit. I did think, it did cross my mind, why is she not knocked out?
Yeah.
How is she still standing up? How is she still coming at me? But I couldn't have asked for a better first opponent. That is exactly what I wanted. I wanted to go out there and give, I had a ton of people come out there to support me, and I wanted to make sure they weren't disappointed. That's why I tried to stay off the ground. I see a lot of the amateur girls get on the ground and they're all tied up, and it's just, and I'm not, you know, no offense to grappling or anything. I think it's really great. It's really important. I see a lot of the amateurs get down there and they're just kind of stuck, and it's kind of boring sometimes. I didn't want it to be like that. So she stood up with me the entire time and just took hit after hit and hit and landed quite a few pretty good ones, you know, right on my face too. I didn't come away unscathed. I got a few bruises and I had a bloody nose, but I mean, it didn't really affect me. It didn't really affect my mentality at all. I was still going at her full force. I was just like, well, she can handle it, so I'm going to let her have it.
Yeah, and you sure did. And you know, and right, you had a very game opponent, and it's a really an excellent test for you to really to see what that's like. Someone who won't go when you keep you keep slamming strikes home. And one time I thought it was cool. You actually just shoved her down. I mean, you kept punching
yeah.
her. She didn't
yeah.
fall, so you just shoved her down. I thought that was a nice move. You don't see enough of that, Brian Iams.
That was something that I was coached. I'm not going to lie, that was not completely my idea. I was trying to listen a lot, and before I went in there, that was a little something that me and Trisha and Tim Elliott had gone over. You know, if you get a little bit of combo in or something and you want to make a little bit of space, just shove her. And it kind of just snapped right there. This is the perfect time, you know. I'm just going to push her down. So that went over really well. I didn't actually get to watch the video of the fight until this evening when it was posted on YouTube, so I didn't get to see myself. And yeah, I have a lot of improvement to do, but that was actually one of the highlights for me, watching that.
Outstanding move.
Jade, this is Brian Iams. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you.
First off, on conquering the weight loss deal, you know, working with your doctor, and then you get into title boxing, you graduate out to Grindhouse, obviously surrounded by a pool of talent. KCFA is a big show. You win on that. You get fight of the night. Where do you see yourself doing next?
I'm going to train harder. I mean, like I was saying, watching that video last night, I'm not disappointed in myself by any means, but there's a lot of things I need to improve on. I shouldn't have been hit as many times as I was hit. And I mean, I know people say that, oh, I shouldn't let myself get hit. You're going to get hit. You're walking into a fight. But I'm not real good at keeping my hands up yet. I need to work on my movement. I have the cardio to move more than I was. And I want to do it again. I've had tons of people ask me, so are you going to do it again? Yeah, it was probably the most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
I enjoyed the heck out of it, and I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. I want to do it again. I want to take more fights, but I'm kind of taking the advice of, you know, James Krause. If I get offered fights and stuff like that, that's completely, I mean, obviously it's my choice, but that's, I'm going to take his advice and follow what he thinks I should do. He obviously knows what he's doing, so.
That's for sure. And you've got an incredible, just, you know, group of advisors and training partners with these guys in the UFC, and you couldn't ask for a better mentor than James Krause. Jade Chun is with us, victorious last night. Fight of the night winner over Stephanie McGank, and they put on a hell of a show. It was a beautiful thing at Kansas City Fighting Alliance.
To go along with the, you know, you're wanting to fight again, is this something you want to make a career out of? Could we expect maybe in the, you know, a couple years down the road for you to turn pro, or is that still too far off in the future?
I'd love to go pro, but I don't want to jump into anything before I'm ready. Like I said, I'm going to listen to my coaches and kind of follow their lead. I'm going to get as good as I can. I don't want to jump into anything too soon before I'm ready. That was just my first fight. I mean, I'm just getting started. I want to be a lot better. I want to be more sure of myself, more confident even than I was last night. I felt pretty confident last night, but I have some improvement, and yes, I'm hoping that I'll get there. I want to be pro. I want to take on more fights.
Well, you're on your way, Jade, and man, thank you for taking the time on a Sunday night to join us. Again, a terrific performance. Congratulations on that, and the fight of the night win and trophy, and all that comes along that goes along with that. Again, thanks so much. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Oh, thank you very much. Anytime. It was my pleasure. I appreciate it.
That's Jade Chun, victorious last night at Kansas City Fighting Alliance. Fought a very game, Stephanie McGank, and they both came away with the Fight of the Night trophy, and it was just a terrific, terrific performance. The ladies were bringing it last night on a stacked and packed card. I mean, just top to bottom. It was nothing but nonstop entertainment last night at Kansas City Fighting Alliance. We'll take a break now. When we come back, we'll do some more talking about the art of ass whipping on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan.
Touch that dial, and we'll kick your ass. You're tuned into Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
All aboard!
Oh, hell no. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan. Thank you for joining us, both of you. We're talking about the art of ass whipping. And we're going to do a little upcoming fight activity. I think maybe review something. T-Mac, what are we doing here, man? Scribbling notes. Are you doodling?
No, I'm taking notes.
Okay.
I'll got give some you, questions for our
I'll
next
interview. I'll give you
interview.
A note.
What's the next note?
What were we... well, I was going to ask you, what the UFC on Fox.
Yeah.
It was in Chicago.
It was... yeah, and it's a little alarming about that card last night as far as the news. There was the second lowest attendance for
really?
A Chicago UFC card, and it was the lowest rated UFC card on Fox. That's not good.
No, it's not. But this is it's a free card, so you're...
Yeah. But that's not good.
I wonder why.
They have up their schedule to like 50 fights this year.
And
maybe
think,
it's having a counterbalance.
And I think that's what it is. I think that the casual fan that is all – because there's hardcore fans that's going to watch every single fight, right? And then there's like a second category that knows, you know, all the champions, all the contenders, all of that stuff. But now they're going to pick and choose because there is 50 fights.
So many options.
Right. There's so many options. I'm not going to watch tonight. And I think, like you said, it has a counter
You've crowded
counter
the market,
effect.
Maybe.
Yeah, you saturate the market a little bit, and that audience is going to be spread a little bit thin.
Right.
Well, MMA is big all over the country now, and there's lots of local events, KCFA being one. But there's also lots of amateur fights all over the place. And there's a lot of amateur fights because promoters don't have to pay the fighters. They can make a good turn on their dime. But it's good for the community because all these local kids get to come out, their friends, their family, their pastor, whoever it is, gets to come and watch them perform some civil discourse on a Saturday afternoon or evening, whatever it is. So there's a lot of fighting out there for people to see. And when the UFC ups its output, so to speak, they might see a counterbalance in what they're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. And again, you're people are choosing, you know, to spend their entertainment dollar in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about amateur fights. To some people, fights that are at a local bar are the same thing as the UFC. They don't distinguish.
They don't understand quality.
That's another tier
right.
of fandom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is oh yeah, well my friend's a cage fighter, and I'm like, well, you know, my friend, Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez, undefeated, you know, all, you know, 4-0, and all four fights have been stoppages. All of his fights have been on national television. Well, yeah, I don't know who that is, but you know the guy with the beer gut that's mm-hmm. fighting in a place outside of town where you can smoke cigarettes.
And that's the guy they grew up with, and that's the guy that works the door at their local tavern. Who threw
right.
Billy Bob out last Saturday.
Yeah, and he could knock out Rampage next week.
But that's the thing. Fighting is big, and it's big everywhere, and it's big in every small community. So when there's so much fighting going on and you have to support your local fighters, and people want to do that, obviously, there's only so much you can do. Plus, the dollar's not exactly strong right now.
And that's going to affect the bottom line of the bigger fight promotions. And the biggest, of course, is the UFC.
Mm-hmm. So, but other than that, it was a really good fight card. The headline was Benson Henderson taking on Josh Thompson. Ben Henderson won by split decision, 47-48, and then 48-47, and then 49-26, which I thought was a little odd because whoever that judge was, there's already enough problems with judging in UFC. We don't need another judge like that, and that one...
Well, you thought it was a little odd. I thought it was absolutely preposterous and ridiculous. And I also think that that judge ought to be taken out and beaten, because that's one of these old school, I'm sure, boxing guys that doesn't understand that mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. And we're slowly trying to weed these bastards out and get them out of the commissions and judging these fights they have no business judging.
And I honestly thought, like, because every time you think of bad judging, at least in my mind for combat sports, both boxing and MMA, I think of Vegas.
Right.
This is one of the first ones that sticks out to my mind where it's like another state has a bad judge. You know, I thought they were all just huddled up in Las Vegas because of the nice weather and the gambling. You know, they could all stay out there, but unfortunately, they ain't.
For a long time, these commissions didn't have anything to oversee except boxing.
Right.
That's
exactly.
The other part of it. Yeah. These people have been in the system for a long time, and now it's their turn, so to speak, and so they get the job, and that's, you know, that's part of the deal. But hey, if you don't like decisions, finish the work.
That's what they say. You
can't
finish everybody.
Yeah, but you know
what?
I don't like that. I don't like that at all because, I mean, especially at the UFC level, these guys are the best of the best of the best of the best, and it's not as easy to just go, hey, man, you should just finish this guy. Well, he's just as well trained. You know,
and
my
also,
work in the three rounds or five rounds should be warranted with a competent judge sitting outside saying, yes, you won that.
That's true. And also, a guy that's taken an ass whipping and sees that there's obviously a difference in skill and that he's on the lower end of that skill spectrum in this particular fight, he could just, you know, try not to get knocked out.
Right.
And then you're not going to knock that bad if you can't catch him,
mm-hmm.
you know, or if he holds and grabs and the referee is compliant and all that. I mean, you can't knock everybody. You're not going to stop everybody. Even Mike Tyson didn't knock everybody out.
Exactly.
The unified rules haven't been around very long, and the sport itself hasn't been around very long, so you're going to have the best judges are yet to become judges because a lot of them are still coaches and fighters and whatnot. So you give it another half a generation or a generation, you see a big difference in judging.
And I think that's where the fighting judging should go is with these ex-fighters. And I'm using these examples because they're famous, but a Chuck Liddell, a Jens Pulver, a Randy Couture should be judges because obviously they've been in there. They know what it's like. They know how to judge it. But for some of them, they're still coaching guys, and it's unfair, you know, the guy they're coaching, his best friend's the one they're judging their fight of. So
right.
I understand, but I think that's where the sport has to go.
No, and guys like that with the experience know what to look for, and the sport is, as Brian mentioned, only 20 years old, so there's still the growing pains. But what else happened? The Ben Henderson activity, a lot of people think a stink burger, most people a stink burger of a decision, and
right.
Ben Henderson shouldn't have got it.
And also what came out of that fight is Josh Thompson hinted at a retirement. Now, we don't know if that's the case. It's after a bad loss, things like that. But he has been in the game for a long time, you know. I mean, he was in there during the dark ages of the UFC, those UFC 30s and 40s, you know, around that time. So, you know.
He's 35. I don't think he did a ton of damage. He hadn't been down the long, hard road like Chris Lieben, who's younger but has suffered more damage and stuff.
And he's a punk.
Yeah, well, his nickname is the Punk.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, and I think Sharkbait said something about Gil Melendez and stuff. I was at one of those fights. Yeah, they went back and forth, and it was a great trilogy. But he didn't get beat up or, you know, anything like that. He just they exchanged blows,
right.
And tit for tat, that kind of thing. What else happened last night in UFC on Fox?
You got Donald Cerrone with an amazing head kick, knockout, KO at the end of the first round over Martins. It was great too. I mean, he kicked
textbook.
The lips of Martins just wiggled everywhere.
His ear wiggled.
Yeah, I always like watching the slow mo for some reason.
Damn near took his head off.
Yes, exactly. That was a great one. Also, Eddie Wineland got back into the win category with the TKO. Alex Caceres, better known as Bruce Leroy, he beat Sergio Pettis. Let's see, what else?
Yeah, Bruce Leroy, double bonus winner, $100,000.
Yeah, that was Pettis' first loss, wasn't it, T-Mac?
Yes. Sergio Pettis, Sergio Pettis' first loss. And then Stipe Miocic defeated Gabriel Gonzaga. Gonzaga then tweeted out a picture this morning of a broken hand. I don't know if that really would have affected the fight, because Miocic was putting it to him.
He was putting it on him, and maybe it would have helped him a little bit with, you know, Gonzaga with that hand activity, but he could also stand to lose 20, 30 pounds. Come on.
Who's
I know
that?
You're heavyweight. Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I
yeah,
mean,
yeah.
Jesus. You know what? How about shaving that back and lose a little weight? You know, I mean, damn. Come on. I like the guy, man.
Yeah.
I've seen him fight live a couple of times, but
if
Jesus.
Dana White has an issue with Roy's belly, surely he can take care of Gabriel's.
Yeah, I mean, get the guy. I mean, I know
quilt.
He's making enough money for a razor blade. Jesus. But he could lose a few pounds, too, because
yeah.
he was gassed at the middle of the first round.
Yeah.
He's looked good lately, though.
He's looked
Gabriel
yeah.
Gonzaga.
He's looked outstanding.
Well,
he's
looked fit.
Yeah,
and
he looked. He took a little bit of retirement and kind of got his life together as far as where he wanted to train, how he wanted to train, and all that. And then he came back, and he was kind of on a good winning streak there. But Miocic, I think he's that new breed of UFC fighter, kind of like a Travis Brown, mm-hmm. where it's these super athletic guys, good everywhere. So you don't know really how to game plan for him because wherever you go with them, they could take you out there. And,
might be a good matchup
yeah.
right there.
Yeah,
that'd be a good one. And heavyweights that are mobile, that are good mm-hmm. everywhere.
Right.
That was last night's UFC on Fox, and, you know, that was a pretty good show.
It was a very good show, yeah.
And but now upcoming shows, we're talking February 1st, another UFC 169er, which could be changed to February 2nd if Super Bowl is affected negatively by some weather activity in the New York area. UFC 169 features Henan Barao versus Urijah Faber. Now that's the main event. February 7th in town here at the Voodoo Lounge, Ultimate Blue Corner Battles. February 15th, UFC Fight Night 36, Machida versus Musashi. That's the main event. That's pretty good matchup there.
One.
But the rest of the card, really kind of a stink burger. I think mm-hmm. I've heard of maybe two other fighters. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And that's the reason why it's difficult for these 50 events per year, is you're going to get a good main event fight, maybe even a really high-quality co-main event. But then the rest of the card, if you're not from that area or if you're not a hardcore fan, you're going to go, well, I don't know this guy. He's 9-0. You know how many other 9-0 guys there are out in the country or in the world? You know, and so it's difficult to get behind them.
Probably quite a few. Now, I know there's a 4-0 guy.
Yes.
That's sitting here in the studio, and he will be fighting, making his return to the cage February 28th. That's on a Titan show at Memorial Hall, the 28th. It is televised on CBS Sports Network. We here at Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan, are a CBS affiliate, but that's not where we're talking to this hot dog. His name is Anthony Sharkbait Gutierrez, making his return to the cage after his starring role on The Ultimate Fighter Season 18. Sharkbait, Shark Bizay, I should say. What's going on, sweet daddy? Tell us about what's happening, how you're feeling, and are you ready to rock on February 28th?
Feeling good. I'm going to be fighting February 28th. Last time I fought was in May, so it's been a while. So February 28th at Memorial Hall in Kansas City, Kansas. It'll be live on the CBS Sports Network, fighting a seasoned veteran. He's had over 50 fights as far as MMA goes, so it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
And now, okay, so 50 fights. He's an experienced veteran. You had, I guess, one fight in what, 2 years? Because you had to fight to get in into that show, into the house on that show, The Ultimate Fighter Season 18. So, I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, this is the longest layoff of your career.
Well, actually, the longest layoff was before my fight to get into the house.
Because you had the surgery, the
right.
shoulder surgery.
My shoulder surgery. So now, I mean, I really don't feel, I've been sparring a lot lately. And so, I mean, I feel good, really. I mean, my fight to get into the house was probably one of the best fights I've ever had as far as, you know, being under control and executing what I wanted to do. So I'm expecting the same thing.
Unfortunately, they count that as an exhibition. It doesn't go on your official record for mm-hmm. a variety of reasons. But it's still a fight and it still happened and everything. But how do you feel about your opponent? What do you need to do, you know, to kick this guy's ass? I mean, where is his skill set versus yours? Let's talk a little about that.
Yeah, I think the main thing in this one is really just to make sure that I'm on point and I'm the best, Anthony that can be there. But, you know, on a side note, there's some little things to look at. You know, he's left-handed, he's long, you know, he's as tall as me. So, and him being left-handed is something I'm sparring to a lot of left-handed guys, Derek Ripley, Tim Elliott, switches stances. So I'm working on that. But I'm just mainly focused on myself, you know. I'm trying to improve everywhere in the game, you know, mentally and, you know, technique-wise. So,
do you feel any different being a little older now for this one? You know, now you're 23 and you know, and your last official fight, where were you, 20?
No. 21.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Well, I'm sorry. I was way off. But do you feel
late 21, almost 22.
Any different mentally, though? I mean, as far as your preparation, your maturity level.
Only thing that would change, I guess, from getting old is I think I'm starting to develop a little bit more man strength.
Yeah.
I'm a late bloomer. I'm starting to get a little facial hair. You know what I'm saying? Some of that activity. And some of that Gabriel Gonzaga back hair.
There you go. Yep. Nice. T-Mac.
Well, and Charlie Dubray, your opponent that you are going to be fighting, he's fought one of your teammates as well. Do you see that playing an effect as now you've seen him in person actually fight, whereas sometimes, you know, your opponents, you kind of have to just go off videotape. Do you see that helping you?
Yeah, it can definitely help me as far as I can look at what Brian did against him and how it worked. But, you know, the main thing in the sport of MMA is if a guy fought someone, let's just say 8 months ago or a year ago, the guy that's going to step in the cage a year later could be completely different and do totally different things. Now, it all, you know, it doesn't hurt to look at the tape and, like, do stuff like that. But I have to expect – my mindset is just I'm going to act like he's going to be as good as Henan Barao, and I'm going to be try to prepare for him, and then I'm going to expect whatever he brings at me.
And then we've mentioned about how your long layoff, things like that. How active do you want to be after this fight, assuming you don't have any injuries?
Yeah, I want to be as active as possible. I hope to get on the next Titan card after this one. So, you know, right now, as far as, you know, my situation goes, the only way I make money is fighting, so I need to fight as much as possible and, you know, develop a little bit of a bank account.
Well, this is a good way to do it. On February 28th, back in action, and it'll be your fifth official professional fight, and all of them have been televised, and there's a reason for that, because you do have a crowd-pleasing style and a certain fan base that's very loyal, and we're looking forward to seeing you in action, Sweet Daddy, February 28th, Kansas City, Kansas, Memorial Hall, on the Titan card. That's going to be terrific. We'll be talking more about that as in the coming weeks. And that's going to about do it for this week of Fight Show Live. We want to thank Jade Chun, victorious last night, Fight of the Night winner at Kansas City Fighting Alliance. Thank her so much for joining us. And just a terrific performance from someone who's just been training 6 months and already in there winning Fight of the Night honors. Thank you to Shark Biza for joining us. Looking forward to watching you work, kid, February 28th. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.